Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
It basically means that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket, however perfect you think those eggs are. Basically, as we all know, eggs have a tendency to crack.
I'm looking for something of Egyptian cotton, elastic trim, something suitable for squash on Thursday, but also the town hall soiree on a Friday.
Especially if you're getting into this investing thing, the one thing to learn, if you're going to learn one term, diversification.
So it's not socks, unfortunately. It's stocks, like stocks and shares.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, can anyone get into investing?
What do we have in store today? We've got Adam Dodd, CEO and founder at Freetrade, to discuss the stock trading app. And later on, me and Mike will be sharing our top tips for would-be investors.
So Nate, today on Money Bites, we're asking, can anyone get into investing? So what is investing all about?
Well, any of us with surplus cash have to figure out what to do with it. For some of us, this will mean opening simple savings type accounts, like a vanilla regular savings or cash ISA account. Now, these types of accounts are typically covered under something called the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, FSCS, which means that up to £85,000 of your money is guaranteed by the government should a particular bank or building society go bust. The only problem with these kind of accounts is that the interest rates can be far from exciting. In the current market, a good 1-year fixed rate cash ISA would pay around maybe 1.5% interest, which, given inflation, the increased cost of living, isn't exactly an exciting rate of return. Now, this leads many people to think outside the savings box and turn to all manner of investment opportunities, whether that's investing in startups via equity crowdfunding platforms, or investing in a FTSE 100 ETF tracker, or even buying shares in companies like ASOS or HSBC. Now, all investment opportunities, they have risk, but some are riskier than others, and there's a whole heap of jargon out there that puts a lot of people off. So this week on Money Bites, we're asking, can anyone get into investing?
Amazing. Thanks, Nate. To start us off, we have Adam Dodds, the big cheese at Freetrade. Freetrade is an app that allows users to trade in stocks, shares and ETFs. And make sure to stick around to the very end for a classic round of Skittlemania.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
We're delighted to have Adam Dodds, the CEO and founder of Freetrade, with us. Freetrade is an app that makes it easy and cheaper to buy shares in a range of companies. So Adam, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How does Freetrade work?
Well, you kind of just said it. We're an app that lets you invest in companies and investment funds without having to pay any sort of commissions or charges like the legacy.
So how much does it cost?
How much does it cost? Well, it's free. It's in the name, man.
Totally free.
well, we have a freemium business model that I think most consumers these days are pretty familiar with, whether that's a Spotify subscription that they have or an iCloud subscription that, you know, scales with the amount of photos you have on your iCloud. And that's our business model. So you have a free tier to start off with and various paid services on top of that with some pretty cool account features dropping maybe by the time this airs.
So what led you to starting up Freetrade? You talked about freemium, and yeah, we're all used to free stuff, whether it's browsing videos on YouTube or Spotify and their freemium model. But when it comes to buying stocks, actually free isn't something that we're used to as UK consumers. So what led you to go, look, there's a gap in the market and we can actually deliver a great service, but for free for those that want that kind of service?
Yeah, it was moving to London. So I'm from Canada. I moved to London like 5 years ago, needing to open up a new investment account as you do in a new country. And I couldn't find anything that I felt was even good on the product side. And the prices to invest was prohibitive the way I wanted to do it, which was in relatively small blocks once a month around payday. There just really wasn't that option out there in the UK. That's why I did it. It kind of scratch an itch, solve a problem for yourself as you do.
Is it right in saying for many of your customers, free trade could be their first, the first time that they've actually gone into picking stocks and buying shares for themselves?
Absolutely it is. So our average customer age is around 30. It's wow. a little bit shy of 30. That is in obviously a sharp contrast to the incumbent brokers that are over 50, the average customer. So with that is a lot of them, it's their first time opening up an investment account. It's the first time that they've ever bought an ETF or a share of a company, which I think is pretty amazing. And it starts them out on hopefully a lifetime habit of investing, which is what we're trying to accomplish, is help people build up, you know, financial assets and grow them over time so that at the end of it all, you know, you have more money to do the things you want to do in your life and have a better life, really.
One of the things that puts people off is the thought that you need a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience of financial stuff and modeling and crazy things. So what research do you think most consumers need to do before they jump into picking shares and buying stocks?
I wouldn't go advising anyone on what individual companies they should buy. If you had bought Tesla a year ago, you might be doing all right. But what is really dead simple, though, is to start off with a passive index tracking fund. And that's where I would suggest anyone that's just starting out to get into. That's the classic Warren Buffett advice. You know, go buy yourself the lowest fee tracking fund that buys the whole stock market. So you could buy a FTSE All World ETF, which for most people needs a little bit of translation what that actually means. But it just means you're buying the global stock market and you're doing so at almost a zero cost because you're not getting charged by us. And then the fund, the ETF, exchange-traded fund, they charge a small amount, but it's a fraction of what traditional funds in the UK charge, which are upwards over 1%. You know, Woodford's obviously in the news recently around that. But if you go into our app, we don't have traditional funds. We do have investment trusts. But what you can look at is what the fees are in a percentage. But you can see what your fees would be over a 5-year period if you had invested 5,000. And some of those traditional actively managed funds, it's crazy how much you end up actually paying, and that in fact impacts your investment returns, of course. So long story there, but what I would suggest is you just get yourself into a low fee passive ETF, and you can do that with free trade in a matter of minutes.
So Adam, look, you're clearly a busy guy. You set up free trade and stuff is going good, and you talked about new things that are coming in the next few weeks. Do you still find time to maintain a portfolio, and if so, what kind of investor are you? Is it in kind of ETF type funds, or are you more of a stock picker?
Yeah, of course I do. I use my products every day. I'm opening up free trade, checking out how my portfolio went. I'm not anything close to a day trader, but I do invest regularly. And actually, everyone at free trade, we have a rule at free trade that everybody has to invest once a month.
Right.
Buy invest, right? Yeah. Not buy sell, but you have to invest every month and use the product the way that we expect our customers would want to use it. And that is what I was saying, buy and hold. So you develop a habit so that every month you have some money coming in. Mm. Some of that money goes into an investment and you start building up a portfolio. And if you looked at my home screen on free trade, which I'm doing right now, which number one holding is S&P 500 Vanguard Tracker Fund. That's my top holding. Number two is an ultra short bond fund from iShares. So that's a little bit of a hedge against the equity markets, if you will. So I try to build a diversified portfolio so you can have both fixed income. You have gold is actually my number four holding here, physical gold. That's actually been doing really well this year. FTSE All World. So almost all my holdings are these ETFs that I was just talking about I also, in my top five, have some Amazon.
That sounds like quite a diverse portfolio. You've not gone for an aggressive strategy. You hold a fair bit of gold through the fund.
A little bit of gold, yeah, a little. I mean, I wouldn't want to miss out on another bull market year and not be invested, but I do hedge myself a little bit. And I would, especially if you're getting into this investing thing, the one thing to learn, if you're going to learn one term, diversification.
Yeah.
Because that we've seen that sometimes in our community where people are really excited about investing and they go and buy some companies maybe that they recognize the brand or the name without kind of a strategy behind that or understanding that they're taking excess risk that they don't need to, that can be diversified away.
Which sounds like a pretty obvious novice kind of pitfall, right? You go, look, I buy a lot of stuff from ASOS. Surely if I own shares in ASOS, it's a good idea, right? Without understanding actually how much debt they've got or how sales are doing over kind of the last 12 months, etc. So look, there's a long list of companies that appear to burn bright not so long ago, right? The likes of Woolworths, Blockbusters, etc. Are there any sectors or particular companies that you just avoid investing in?
For me personally, I mean, I'm not going to go buy any British American Tobacco myself, but that's more like ethical choice, I suppose. And that's something that we see in our community a lot, is they tend to skew towards sustainable investments, things like that. In terms of for an individual investor, if you were going to go and be brave and decide to pick a stock that you kind of believe in or you know, I think the classic advice is to kind of stick to a sector or area of the economy that you understand well.
So the free trade was kind of the first fintech to really tackle stocks and shares investing for investors, whether they're pretty new and novice or kind of relatively sophisticated. The market's getting a lot more competitive, right? We see new players jumping in or getting ready to jump in. How do you think the market's going to change over the next year? And what does free trade do to make sure that it stays ahead of the pack?
Yeah, so I see the landscape as kind of a new wave of investment companies taking on the incumbent industry that has been there for maybe the last 20 years and hasn't really changed. I don't see, when people always ask me about our competition and more people doing what we're doing in an app, I don't see that as the big competitor or the big challenge. It's more educating the guys or the people that are still with Hargreaves Lansdown or whoever else, they're the biggest one in the UK right now. But more importantly, actually growing the market itself. So you asked me a question earlier about people investing for the first time, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So it's not the case that we're trying to take a piece of this pie. We really are making it much bigger. And you look at our demographic, and our average age, as I said, is around 30. So that's your so-called millennial generation. That's the largest generation in history. And they're just starting to have enough, excess income to start saving and investing now, because you kind of go on that journey. So you could call it the investing ladder, similar to like the housing ladder. They're just getting on it now. And we're helping them invest for the first time in growing that market. So I think any time that you're seeing in the news or on podcasts or whatever talking about investing, I think that's a positive thing. And it's only going to kind of lift everybody up if we can get investing to be something that everyone just does. So everyone has a bank account. Everyone should have an investment account too, at least if you're over the age of 25 and you start thinking about your future.
What should we look at from free trade next? What's going to get us excited about what's going on in the free trade office?
Oh, I honestly can't tell you the most exciting stuff right now. We try and be pretty transparent with our community, and we do have a roadmap out there. But some of the more exciting stuff, we kind of got to hold the cards to the chest. But I can tell you that within the next, let's say, within maybe before this podcast, maybe a few weeks after, we're going to have some exciting stuff in terms of additional account types and what those features and what you'll be able to invest in and how you'll be able to invest. So The one thing that I would say that I can talk about maybe is say fractional shares. So we've built our own back-end brokerage platform from scratch over the last couple of years, and we just started rolling that out in December. We're kind of upgrading our existing 80,000 customers to that new platform right now. And once we've fully migrated over, that's when we'll kind of release some additional stuff. But the most interesting is the fractional shares, because up until now, you've been required to buy one whole share and there's a price attached to that, which is somewhat arbitrary. You look over in the States and some of the share prices are absurd. Like it's over £1,000 to buy a share of Amazon. That's not something a normal person could buy with the rest of their paycheck in January or whatever. So with free trade, what you're able to do is buy 10 pounds of Amazon and not have to buy 1,000 of it. So it lowers that kind of entry barrier. And it's especially applicable for ETFs as well. So that some of the ETFs I mentioned to you in my own personal portfolio, they're over £100. And if, let's say, you only have £100 for January to invest, it's hard to build a diverse portfolio and rebalance that unless you have fractional shares. So that would be the most exciting thing, I think.
Well, look, it sounds like there's a lot to keep tracking free trade for the next few months, certainly. So where can our listeners find out more about what you guys do?
Well, the first place to start is our community. So if you go to freetrade.io, you can see it on our website, or just community.freetrade.io. We have a very active community that started off actually with our crowdfunding investors, because we were initially crowdfunded. We recently did our Series A, but up until then, it was all from our users. And you can talk about investing. You can talk about all sorts of other things they're talking about on there. Otherwise, we're on social at Free Trade on Twitter, at Free Trade on Insta. And we have regular community meetups as well.
Awesome. Well, look, Adam, thank you for joining us today on the Money Bites podcast. It's now time for Skittlemania.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania.
We've put a bunch of Skittles into Cup A and given our guest a pair of chopsticks. Over 90 seconds, Adam will attempt to transfer as many Skittles from Cup A to Cup B, whilst answering some of the silliest questions the Smart Money People team can muster. Let's see if Adam can seize the Skittles and make his way to the top of the Money Bites leaderboard.
Oh, I'm really nervous.
And your time starts now. Adam, how old were you when you found out the truth about Santa Claus?
I think about 9, maybe.
That's the first Skittle in, too. If animals were all the same size, who would win in an all-out battle royale-style fight?
Some sort of, like, ant or something. I'm trying to remember Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. What insect?
The ants will always win. How many Skittles do you think you could fit into Wembley Stadium?
2 billion.
2 billion with 30 no. seconds in, and you're doing really well. Tim Hortons or Starbucks?
Well, definitely Tim Hortons. I'm surprised that you know what that is.
So there's at least 20 Tim Hortons in the UK now. It's okay.
I am from Oakville, Ontario, Canada, which is the global headquarters of Tim Hortons, which I think is called something else now. Restaurants International or something. You can buy the stock on free trade.
Very good, very good. Do you have a favorite Adam from history?
I actually don't really know too many other than the guy in the Bible and Adam Smith. So I'll go with Adam Smith.
Adam Smith, not a bad choice. 15 seconds left. Is there life on Mars?
No. Was there? Yes, I think. That's my guess.
10 seconds left. Do you have a favorite boy band?
No.
And what's the very best
does
cinema
Coldplay
track?
Count? Yeah.
What's the very best cinema snack?
Popcorn, but definitely not the stuff that you sell in the UK.
And your time is up. Let's see how many Skittles Adam's got. Eddie, do the honours.
That was actually pretty hard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11 Skittles for Adam from Free Trade. That's actually an amazing haul. Well, look, Adam, thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining us on the Money Bites podcast. We look forward to keeping up with Free Trade over what's set to be a pretty hectic year, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been awesome.
Good morning, Free to Interactive Investor. My name's... How can I help?
Hello. I'd like to inquire into your subscription service as it pertains to our socks and shares.
No problem. Could I start by taking your account number, please?
I'm afraid I'm not an existing customer.
Oh, my apologies. So what is it I can do for you, sorry?
So as I understand it, based off the literature on your website, it's $9.99 a month, and I get access to your library of 40,000 socks. Is there a limit to how many socks I can purchase in a given week?
No, absolutely not.
I see. And do you do all 40,000 socks in a size 9? I'd rather you did, as I have the day off booked off today to peruse your library. I'm looking for something, Egyptian cotton, elastic trim, something suitable for squash on Thursday, but also the town hall soiree on a Friday. Do you have anything that fits that kind of profile?
A size 9, so I'm not too sure. Do you mind if I just go and double check that?
Yeah, not a problem.
Hi there, thanks for waiting.
Hello.
Sorry, so a size 9, did you say, in the stock?
Yes, I wear a size 9 sock.
Sorry, so I'm not sure I quite understand the question.
Yeah, so what I was wondering was, if I've booked today off because I need a mammoth pair of new socks, and I was told that you sell socks and you specialise in socks. You have a library of 40,000. There's a subscription service where you will send them to me. You also do a monthly free trade, I hear, where I can have a pair of old socks for some of your socks. Now, if you are selling on my socks, I have to warn you about a recent diagnosis from my podiatrist, but that's by the by at this point. But I was just wondering when I can get started trading socks, as I was told your firm do.
So it's not socks, unfortunately. It's stocks, like stocks and shares.
Stockings? No, I don't want stockings.
No, as in shares in a company. Sorry, sir.
Shares in a company. Look, this isn't getting me where I need to be today, I'm afraid. Look, I'll try one of your competitors.
Apologize.
Maybe the New York Sock Exchange.
No problem. Best of luck.
Bye bye.
Next up, we're live from the Money Bite studio to bring you our top tips for those looking to build their own investment portfolio. So first of all, it's important you understand the risks involved. There's always risk when investing, but some investments are riskier than others. If you're in doubt about the risks involved, it's probably best not to invest.
Our second top tip is just not to invest any more than you can afford to lose, because with any potential upside comes the risk of downside. And while most investment firms can point to past performance, this really offers no guarantee of any future performance.
Thirdly, we have diversification. So diversification is an important concept. It basically means that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket, however perfect you think those eggs are. Basically, as we all know, eggs have a tendency to crack, even those of the chocolate variety.
The fourth top tip to remember is that not all investment opportunities are legit. There's a lot of people out there offering seemingly too good to be true once in a lifetime investment opportunities. The simple fact is, scammers are out there and they're keen to part you from your cash, so don't let them.
Next, if in doubt, seek advice. Traditional options like speaking to a financial advisor may be something for you to consider, particularly if you have a chunky amount of assets. Increasingly, we're seeing more firms popping up offering a level of personalised financial advice as part of an online investment proposition that are focused on people that don't have a lot of investment funds. You can look to Open Money as an initial example.
And finally, our last top tip on today's Money Bites is to be sceptical of bold claims. Basically, if it looks too good to be true, it may well be. We've seen companies claiming to offer a guaranteed 10% per annum in so-called government-backed bonds. And the reality here is that these are the kind of people that you should really be trying to avoid. And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Thanks to Adam Dodds of Free Trade for joining us. And please do remember to review, subscribe, or why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.